Well, happy Resurrection Day. You know, sometimes I don't like to say Easter. When you say Easter, people think about the Easter bunny and you know, eggs and things like that. And I know, I mean, you know, a lot of Christians get upset whenever, you know, they have these symbols. But, you know, my dad always taught us that that we should use symbols and turn them around. He always said, you know, anytime you see an Easter bunny, think about Jesus Christ. Anytime you see an Easter egg, think about Jesus Christ. And really, you know, you think about an egg. I mean, an egg is a temporary place that a chicken arises. All right? I mean, just like Jesus arose from the grave, a chick arises from an egg. So almost, you know, it's like, you know, I know that's a birth, but, you know, the resurrection is like a rebirth. You know, and you know, you think about, you know, because we have Easter eggs, and then we have little chicks. You know, we have those little peeps. Anyone see those little peeps at the store? Now, can I take a little side journey here? Because I would think about the peeps here. Now, you know, if you own a chocolate company where you have chocolate Easter bunnies and stuff like that, then later on you can make chocolate Santa Clauses and chocolate bars or whatever. But peeps only come out at Easter. You never notice that? Now, I don't really like the taste of peeps. I don't know if anyone's tried them. I guess this year they have some new flavors of peeps, and I didn't try the new flavors, but I mean, you know, I shop a lot, especially at Walmart, and peep season actually is February the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. They put the peeps in the aisle, and they take them off the day after Easter. Now this year, Easter was a little late, so they had a little longer peep season, but I mean, you know, after that, tomorrow, if you go to Walmart, they're going to be half off. And do you realize, I mean, I've always thought, if I work in a peep factory, do I only work for like a, you know, part of the year and then I'm off? Or I don't know, but I always thought, you know, I guess I'm an entrepreneur. I watch Shark Tank too much. But if I was the president of Peeps, I would like, you know what, guys, let's come up with some kind of other candy so we can, you know, maybe we need to make monsters and call them creeps, you know, come out during Christmas, during Halloween season or something like that. I don't know. It's kind of a side journey. It has nothing to do with anything but Easter. There's something I was thinking about whenever I was walking through Walmart the other day, looking at the peeps that I wasn't going to buy. You know. Anyway, you know, it is interesting, you know, when it comes to symbolism. You know, a lot of times, you know, like I said, you can take a symbol and mean anything. Now, if I was to show you a picture of a cross, obviously you would think about Jesus, you know, because that's the symbol for Christianity is a cross. Then you realize that Jesus died upon the cross between two thieves? And do you realize until Jesus died upon that cross, a cross was not the symbol of Christianity? A cross was the symbol of torture, the symbol of punishment? You know, only became the symbol of Christianity because Jesus died upon the cross. But many other people died upon crosses as well. But they don't. We don't celebrate, you know, their death. And so up until Jesus died, so really, you know, understand, a symbol is anything we make it. So if I want to see an Easter bunny and think of Jesus, I can do that. If I want to see a Christmas tree and think about Jesus, I can do that. If I want to see Santa Claus and thinking about a good man who loves people, I can do that. You know, and so, you know, we've always, you know, used symbols in the right way. It is interesting too, you know, if you see a cross, most of the time you see a cross, it's an empty cross. It's just a cross. You know, people wear around the neck. Sometimes you see crosses with Jesus still on it, you know, which is actually not a true cross because Jesus isn't on the cross. In fact, Jesus is not even in the grave. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. Amen. And so today I want to talk about his resurrection. We're going to look at in Matthew chapter 28, reading from the New King James Version, starting with verse number 1. I've just been kind of thinking a lot about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how important it is to all of mankind. You know, and sometimes we go to an Easter service and they talk a lot about him on the cross, and that's very important what he did on the cross, but they talk very little about the resurrection, which, you know, the resurrection, it really, I mean, everything he did on the cross wouldn't matter if he didn't rise again. And, you know, and I think that sometimes we need to think about more about his resurrection. And, of course, this being Easter, this is a day that we celebrate his resurrection. It is interesting that, you know, we have two, you know, Christian holidays. I mean, obviously, Jews have more holidays, but we have Christmas and Easter. You know, Christmas represents, you know, him being born the first time. Easter is the second time that he re-arose. Both times. Now, it is interesting, too, is the mall is closed both Christmas and Easter. although that we want to say that we're not a religious nation, it is interesting that the mall is closed today. There's a lot of restaurants that are closed today as well. And so it is pretty interesting because of all the, you know, media trying to tell that we're not really a Christian nation, then why is the mall closed on Easter? Why is it closed on Christmas? I mean, there are a lot of places that are open every day of the year except for Christmas. Most zoos are that way. And so, and I realize that according to theologians, this might not be the actual day. And it doesn't really matter. You know, and Jesus was probably not born on December the 25th. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter when you celebrate something. What matters is that you do celebrate something. Now, today we're going to take communion. And, you know, it doesn't matter when you celebrate it. What it says as often is you take it. We celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, whenever we celebrate something, and I always tell this, I mean, you know, my parents plan things out pretty well, not perfect, but pretty well. I was born July 22nd, 1969. Well, the great thing between Christmas and July, I mean, I got about 6 months. So every 6 months I get presents. So that was pretty nice, you know. So, I was a person that would, why spend my money when I could just wait a few more months and it'd be Christmas or my birthday, one or the two. The reason they didn't plan things out that well is because when I was born, we didn't have our annual camp meeting, but then later on we started having our annual camp meeting. It always falls in the middle of my birthday. In fact, this year I turned 50 the Monday of camp meeting, which I'll be ministering the Monday of camp meeting on my 50th birthday. And so, so they didn't plan that out, or they didn't plan camp meeting out very well. They could have moved it around so much, but whatever. Now, my stepdaughter, she complains because her birthday is December the 23rd. And she goes, it's right close to Christmas. And I've told her all the time, why don't we move your birthday to the middle of the year or whatever? She goes, well, I want to move my birthday. Now, I'm not saying we literally move her birthday. Let's just move the day we celebrate. So it doesn't matter what day you celebrate. You know, some people, well, it's really kind of a, when I say some people, you know, some stores decided to have Christmas in July just because they don't really want to celebrate Christmas. They just want to celebrate a sale. But today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Easter is not about celebrating his death on the cross, really. It's celebrating his resurrection. You know, Good Friday was the day we talk about the cross. Now, whenever we have Easter services, it's hard to talk about his resurrection without talking about his death, because he had to die before he rose again. You know, but Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, says, "Now after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake." Now let's stop right there. Do you not think that that's kind of scary? I mean, think about it. You're walking to a tomb, and all of a sudden there was a great earthquake. Now, I really haven't studied, geology or whatever of Israel. I don't know if earthquakes happen quite a bit or not. I don't know. But, you know, I do know about Oklahoma. You know, for a long time, we didn't really have any earthquakes that we could feel. Then all of a sudden, earthquakes started happening that we could actually feel. Now, we've always had earthquakes in Oklahoma of a small proportion. But all of a sudden, a few years ago, we all know that we've been getting some 5.8s and some bigger earthquakes that you actually feel. Now, the first time we had one of those like 5.8s, it was a little scary, wasn't it? You know, that after a while, you kind of get used to it. And you're like, oh, it's another earthquake. You know, and around Oklahoma, you know, we're kind of used to natural disasters. I mean, tornadoes happen, you know. And I always tell people, I said, well, people always ask what it's like. I said, ever seen the movie Twister? And they're like, well, yeah, but it's not really like that. I said, well, yeah, well maybe we don't have trucks spinning around, you know, midair or whatever, although I've seen trucks being moved by tornadoes and things. And one thing is not true. I've never seen anyone hold on to a pipe, you know, and not get blown away. I mean, I don't know if you remember, it was in a movie. They're all holding on and, you know, they're going to get blown away, all right? But I mean, a lot of things in that movie is true. We live in on a yearly basis, and by the way, it's tornado season for all those you guys you know, they're here. But, you know, earthquake season happens all the time. We just don't know. All of a sudden, boom, the earth starts shaking. You know, and it's a little scary that when it first happened. Now we're kind of used to it a little bit, which is kind of scary that we're used to having an earthquake. In fact, I had the privilege this last year to go in August to go to Trinidad and minister there in Trinidad. And right before I landed in Trinidad, they had like a 7.0. And they don't have earthquakes very often. And so everybody was on the edge because of 7.0. And it didn't do a lot of damage to the major cities, but a lot of the buildings kind of in the outlying areas, you know, they weren't really built that well. And some of the churches we ministered had some small things happen. I mean, stuff like curtains fell off the wall. We had some cracks in some places. But even though everyone was pretty much okay. But after I got there, we were eating breakfast the next day. And all of a sudden, we had a 5.8. Now, our server was actually at our table. We had the 5.8. She started freaking out like crazy. The other guy that was with me, who was originally from Trinidad, now lives up in Canada, he was freaking out a lot. And I'm like, oh, it's an earthquake. I mean, you know, I'm just sitting there waiting for it. And actually, you know, technically, it was a short earthquake. You know, we've had some here in Oklahoma, this lasts like almost like it lasts like a minute. And that one didn't last that long, but I tell you, our server was freaking out. Everybody there was freaking out. I'm like, oh, we had an earthquake, you know, which is kind of scary that I actually think like that, you know, because nobody else did. But think about this. I don't know if they have earthquakes very often, but here they were walking to the tomb, you know, and all of a sudden an earthquake happened. I mean, you know, think about your mind. An earthquake happened. And, you know, now, here's the thing, you know, I've never actually been out in the open where an earthquake happened. So, you know, the ground could pop open and you might can fall in or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, it says an earthquake. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothes was as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him. And became like dead men. They all passed out. They fainted. Now, evidently, according to this, that obviously Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they saw all this happening. Now, you know, and it was kind of probably a freaking experience, but it was an awesome experience to see, you know, what happened that day. And I personally believe, and although if you read some accounts, it says that they bought some anointing oil to anoint Jesus with oil. But I believe that they actually got there that day because they heard him minister. And he kept talking about how he's going to rise on the third day. And so I don't think, you know, people say, well, do you think they were freaked out? Well, maybe a little bit, but not really, because I think they expected Jesus not to be there. Anyway, it goes on to say The angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." And that's the first thing every angel always said whenever they appeared to a person was, "Do not be afraid." By the way, if you're ever doing some kind of trivia question, what does an angel say when it appears to you? Do not be afraid. Anyway, it says, "For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." You know, and those are awesome words. Think about that. He is not here, for he is risen. And in fact, Dad was talking about, you know, this. I was going to open with it, but he said, you know, there was a Sunday school class, and the teacher was talking about how Jesus is everywhere. There's not a place on this earth that you cannot find Jesus. Wherever you are, Jesus is right there with you. You know, the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. We all know that, right? And all of a sudden, one of the kids raised their hand and said, "Teacher, I know someplace that Jesus is not." And she's trying to think to herself, well, Jesus is everywhere. But this little kid says, "Jesus is not in the tomb." There is one place that Jesus is not, and that's in the tomb. You know, that's so awesome. You know, the awesome part about it is this little kid knew, I mean, you know, this wasn't an Easter message. This was just a time of the year when people talk about, you know, he's everywhere. But this kid knew that Jesus was not in the tomb. You know, sometimes we need to remember Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. And because he's not in the tomb anymore, that we have been given authority because he lives. You know, I love the song. It says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, all fear is gone. Life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, you understand, it's because he rose again that we have everything that we had. It's because Jesus came back. It's because our Savior came back. You know, they always say that you can't keep a good man down. And Jesus was a good man. You can't keep him down. He rose. And you know, I mean, obviously that was probably a scary experience, but how awesome the experience was whenever they, you know, got there and Jesus wasn't there. You know, anyway, he says, anyway, let's go back. Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples the word. So it says they had fear and great joy at the same time, which is kind of pretty hard to do. You know, realize in the world that we live in, we either have fear or great joy. But see, when fear comes upon us, we can have great joy because Jesus Christ is our strength on the inside. Because he rose again, we have Jesus on the inside. You know, but it is interesting because they had both fear and great joy all at once, which is very unusual to have both those things. But it goes on, verse number 9, it says, and they went to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So Jesus met him on the road to go talk to the disciples. He said, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet. So basically they fell at his feet and worshiped him. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. You know, and so they went and did that. Now, the next thing in my Bible, you know, the Bible has on top of different things, has different, you know, like right here, it said the woman worshiped the risen Lord, you know, or on top of the other thing says, here it says he is risen. Well, next thing in my Bible says the soldiers are bribed. The soldiers are bribed, you know, so because some people don't understand, you know, why some people don't realize that he rose again. It's because the soldiers were bribed. I mean, the reason that the Jews still are looking for the Messiah to come again is because the soldiers were bribed to tell a lie, to tell a lie, to tell them that it didn't happen, that Jesus didn't come back. Because you realize is that everything that Jesus said is going to happen is based upon him coming back. And so the soldiers took money to tell a lie. And that's why the Jews are still looking for the second coming of Jesus. But see, we're not looking for the second coming of Jesus because Jesus already came again. He already came. He was already resurrected. We're waiting for the third coming. You know, and the world says the third time's the charm. See, we're waiting for the third time to be the end. You know, but because of some people taking money and being bribed, you know, the soldiers said, well, his disciples stole the body. You know, but think about that. Doesn't that make those soldiers look pretty weak? That his disciples were able to overcome these soldiers, move away the stone, take the body without nobody seeing it? You know, it's kind of a tough sell. You know, and by the way, I mean, it makes them look like they're weaklings. I mean, because, I mean, I know we do read in the Bible where Peter cut a guy's ear off, but besides that, they don't seem like really mean people. Now, you know, they were awesome fishermen, so, I mean, if you're a fish, maybe you're afraid of the disciples. But I mean, I don't think that they were men of war. You know, and I know there were a number of them, so I don't know how many guards were there. But we always think two, but, you know, that's just us thinking. You know, I'm assuming that there were quite a few, probably more than two guards there, because they wanted to make sure because they knew that Jesus has already told everyone that he was going to come again. And so I'm assuming, especially that morning, there were probably a lot of extra guards that, you know, but do you realize that we have a whole religion based upon soldiers being bribed, which is kind of interesting as well. But, you know, everything that happened in the Bible before Jesus came, after Jesus came, would be useless if Jesus didn't come back. You know, it's the center point. Well, actually, it says right here, the doctrine of the resurrection is absolutely the center of the Christian faith. It's the center point. It's because he rose again. And, you know, sometimes, whenever we see some of these Christian movies, but that they really focus on his death on the cross. And, you know, and I like to focus on that, but they don't say a whole lot about his resurrection. They kind of just show it kind of really quickly. And, you know, but the resurrection means everything. It meant everything. This resurrection means everything that we've learned is true. You know, and when we read the scripture, and I read it quite a bit, John 10:10, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's actually talking about when he comes again, whenever he's resurrected. When he came again, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Because at that point in time, that we have power through the name of Jesus. You know, because, you know, a lot of times we use the term that we've been born again. Obviously, you know, that's a Christian term we use. But really what our term should be, we've been resurrected with Jesus. You know, I mean, you know, we really aren't born again. Born again implies that you became a baby again. But, you know, being resurrected with Jesus is we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We became resurrected. The old man is gone. The new man has arose. Because when Jesus died upon the cross, he took our sins. But not only did he take our sins, it says by his stripes we were healed. He took our pains. He took everything. Everything, you know, and, you know, Jesus was died upon the cross, but really he died upon our cross. And when he arose, his resurrection became our resurrection. Now we can be resurrected with Christ Jesus because he lives. We can live also. It's all because of Jesus. But it's not just because of what he did upon the cross. And everything he did on the cross is awesome. Thank God. You know, the song says at the cross, where we first saw the light. If it wasn't for the cross, our sins wouldn't be forgiven. But if it wasn't for his resurrection, neither would they be forgiven as well. And so many times, I mean, you know, I'm 50 years old. And really, I just want to be honest with you. Until this year, I never really hit me that much. That it was because of the resurrection that we have what we have. That the cross would be meaningless without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all about the resurrection. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 19 from the New King James, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if the fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. If you are still in your sins, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men of the most pitiable." So basically, you know what? If Christ wasn't resurrected, then our preaching is useless. Everything we do, everything that I do is useless because, you know what? Christ hasn't risen. It's because that day that Christ rose that everything becomes meaningful. Do you realize that when Christ rose again, that brought forth, I mean, you know, from the Old Testament, there were foretellings of Jesus coming, dying, and rose again. Everything became true because he rose again. In fact, the whole time Jesus was here, he not only talked about, you know, his life here, but he talked about, you know, there, in a short time I will be with you no longer. But he talked about being risen again and being the right hand of the Father. And everything we have is because he rose again. You know, our faith would be useless if Jesus never rose again. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, today and thinking about it more on my way driving here. I mean, you know, if Jesus never rose again, I don't know if I would even be here. I don't know if I could face the world without Jesus. So many times I faced so many problems, and I tell you what, it only because of Jesus that I got through that situation. It's only because of Jesus. You know, and if he would have never rose again, then everything he said wouldn't be true. But it is true. And he has rose again. Unfortunately, some people, because of some soldiers being bought off, don't think he rose again. But that doesn't make it not true. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true or not true. Just because you read something on the internet doesn't make it true. But the thing is, we have many accounts, you know, where you know, every gospel has an account of him rising again. You know, and I think it's very important that they went to the tomb that day. And I believe that it was, you know, they were there to see it happen so that we could know it happened. Now, you know, I understand some people are not going to believe them, but doesn't make it not true. It doesn't make it not true. But like I said, our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. We're actually false witnesses if Jesus Christ didn't rise again. You know, no dead will ever be raised. Nobody will ever be healed if Jesus didn't rise again. Your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You realize that we're still a sinner because he died for our sins, but he rose again for our sins as well. When he rose again, see, he died with our sins. When he rose again, he didn't have them anymore. Do you realize that we were washed white as snow, not because he died, but because he rose? Just like whenever we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we arise again without sin. White as snow. And I mean white on the inside, all right? I don't care what color you are on the outside. White on the inside. Our sins have been forgiven. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Now, here's the thing is, just because old things are passed away on the inside, some people on the outside, see, you know, Jesus looks on the inside. Man looks on the outward appearance. And many people that will see you, they'll remember the old man. They'll remember the old things. And I believe that's what Paul had to deal with, you know, for a long basis. I mean, because, you know, before Paul became Paul, he was Saul, you know, the guy that put Christians to death. But he became Paul the apostle. Now, some people say it's the same man, but Christ says it's not. That was the old man, and the new man's the one who wrote, you know, most of the New Testament. You know, and sometimes that we think, well, maybe that we've done so many bad things that God can't use us. But if he can use Paul, he can use you. Amen. You know, and I always think, you know, some people think that they feel like a loser, but you're never a loser in Christ Jesus. You're always a winner. It goes on, you know, say that, you know, we're still in our sins. All of us that have trusted in Christ are lost if Jesus never rose again. And we are to be pitied more than all men, because think about that. We're living a false narrative our whole life. But the fact is that Jesus was rose again. You know, if Jesus didn't, you know, rise again, then it didn't matter that Noah built an ark. It didn't matter that Moses led the children of Israel to the Canaan land. It didn't matter that David slew Goliath. It didn't matter that Joshua conquered Jericho. It didn't matter that Daniel spent a night in the lion's den. It didn't matter that Jesus walked on the water and fed the multitude. It doesn't matter that the church of, you know, in the book of Acts grew rapidly And Paul wrote letters because none of those things would matter if Jesus didn't rise again. But folks, today is the day that we celebrate, where the day that Jesus rose again. He emerged from the grave. Now, you know, obviously to us it seems impossible, but the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. You know, and the thing about it is, so many times that we face times that we think is an impossible situation, but with God, all things are possible. I mean, you know, we think, well, how did that happen? I don't know how it happened. But what I'm trying to tell you is, you might be facing things and you're thinking, how is it going to happen? I don't know. But I can tell you, you can put your trust in a risen Savior. You can trust in Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you at all times. You know, everywhere you go, in the good times and the bad times and the ugly times, Jesus is right there with you. And in fact, the Bible even clearly says, you know, even if you're yet a sinner, he's still at the door of your heart knocking, waiting for you to open. Wherever you go, he's always there. The only place Jesus is not is in the tomb. That's the only, I mean, you know, it's pretty cool that, you know, we get a revelation from a little kid. The only place he's not is in the tomb. The only place he's not is in the tomb. You know, but he was put in the tomb, but the tomb could not hold him. Just like an egg cannot hold a chicken. It can keep a chicken there for a short time, but, you know, at some point in time, it arises. It arises. It hatches. And a chicken is like brand new. You know, whenever we get hatched in Christ Jesus, we become new. All because he rose. You know, if the resurrection is not true, it's all totally worthless and meaningless. You know, Paul even said later on in verse 32, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And let's just go party it up, because who doesn't really matter? Doesn't matter if he didn't rise. But the thing about it, he did rise. On the third day, he rose from the dead. I mean, today we celebrate something that happened. You know, we're celebrating the very first Easter, the very first Resurrection Day. You know, and I know Easter is kind of different because we don't know what day it is. We have to look at a calendar. You know, every year it's different. It's not like, you know, we know Christmas is always December 25th. You know, every time, like clockwork. We know the 4th of July is on the 4th of July because it's called the 4th of July. In fact, I've heard people tell me before, you know, well, when's the 4th of July? I'm like, the 4th of July? Now, the reason they're saying that, because sometimes, actually, you know, the 4th of July falls on a weekend, and their place of business gives them a holiday, you know, on that Friday before, the Monday after, or whatever. But when it's the 4th of July, it's the 4th of July. It's like the Cinco de Mayo is the 5th of May. If some of you don't speak Spanish, you don't know that, but it's May 5th. Of course, Star Wars Day is May 4th, because may the 4th be with you. All right, yeah. All right. All right, but, you know, it's interesting because Christianity is not based on a set of ideals, creeds, morals, beliefs, lifestyles, disciplines, or practices, although we believe in all that. We all believe in all that. Christianity may produce some of those things, but genuine biblical Christianity is based entirely and exclusively on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything that we have is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. If it wasn't for the resurrection, nothing would be true. You know, and so sometimes we don't think about that because we put so much emphasis on the cross. And the cross, I mean, that is our symbol, the cross. But sometimes our symbol should be the resurrection, because that's what really mattered. You know, now Jesus was unique in every aspect of his person, unique in his birth, unique in his life, unique in his nature. He was totally God, but totally man. He was unique in his death and also unique in his resurrection. You know, the resurrection places Jesus Christ in a class by himself. It makes him unique. Other religions can compete with Christianity on some things. They can say, for example, your founder gave you a holy book. Our founder gave us a holy book. Your founder has a large following. So does ours. You have buildings where people come to worship your God. We have buildings where people come to worship our God. But Christians can say, all of that might be true, but our founder rose from the dead. End of conversation. Drop the mic. Amen. Buddha's still in the grave. Muhammad's still in the grave. But Jesus Christ arose that day. And now he's on the right hand of the Father. And his spirit lives in us. Jesus was like no other founder of any kind of other religion. He arose. You know, in other religions, I mean, you know, they have good morals. But we have a risen Savior. And everything that we have is based upon Jesus Christ rising from the grave. Everything that we celebrate is because he arose again. And praise God for the cross. Praise God for what he did at the cross. You know, at Calvary and at that cross, everything he did. I mean, he took away all our sins. But if it wasn't for that very first resurrection morning, none of it would matter. All his teachings wouldn't matter. Everything he suffered wouldn't matter. I get it. I understand. And that's not going to make me not talk about the cross. But sometimes we need to remember the cross wasn't the end. The cross was only a stopping place for the new beginning. You know, and I understand that Jesus' last words on the cross was, "It's finished." But what he was saying was all suffering, you know, all pain, you know, all sin, that's all finished. I'm taking care of it. But you know what? When he arose the third day, the finished work was completed. You know, many people talk about the cross was the finished work. No, it wasn't. It was the beginning of the finished work. It wasn't finished until he rose again. That was the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate today. That yes, it's finished. It wasn't finished on the cross. He just took the pains on the cross. And like I said, you know, he didn't deserve to die on the cross. People who died on crosses were considered bad people, sinners, except for two men, Jesus Christ and the guy next to him. What do you mean? Yeah, remember that guy that said, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom, Lord"? Yeah. You know, that guy wasn't even asking to be with Jesus. He was just saying, "Hey, don't forget about me." But Jesus turned around and said, "You know what? You're going to be with me." I mean, that shows forth mercy. Yeah. Yeah. How much mercy that a man, you know, although he lived his life as a sinner, that at the last moment of life, he called upon Jesus. And today, he's in heaven. You know, and so those are the only two people that we know that died upon the cross. I mean, you know, till, you know, later on, obviously, you know, some of the disciples and people like that were crucified and things, you know, and tortured for their belief. But up until that point, you know, the cross represented a bad people. But now the cross represents great people. And in fact, I mean, think about this. We know the one of the biggest relief agencies in the world, the Red Cross, is all based upon Jesus Christ. Do you ever realize that? The reason it's called the Red Cross is because of the blood that was spilled on Calvary. All the people that don't believe in Christ believe in the Red Cross. You realize the Red Cross goes into Muslim nations, goes all the way, and they all open them with open arms. You know, but their whole belief is based upon Jesus Christ dying on that cross, taking away the pain. You know, and the whole purpose is to go and be like Jesus would want to be and bring forth good things to people that are hurting. You know, and that's what the Red Cross does. But, you know, praise God that our Red Cross also brings forth good things to people that are hurting. So many times we hurt. So many times we go through stuff. And we have to remember that Jesus died upon that cross for us. But he also arose for us. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you know, that we know the future. You know, and a lot of people, I know whenever I was little, you know, you don't hear about it as much now, but when I was younger, everyone talked about heaven all the time. You know, and I'm sure that heaven's going to be a great place, okay? I mean, it's going to be better than the Wizard of Oz or, you know, we talk about Streets of Gold and things like that. And heaven's going to be great, but, you know, I think a lot of times during an older generation, people talked about how good heaven's going to be, and they said, well, we're only going to suffer for a short time, but Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus rose from the grave so that we can have an abundant life. You know, and many people, whenever he said that, thought, well, that's because he was born on Christmas Day. No, it was because he was reborn on Resurrection Day. Because nothing would have mattered. I mean, we wouldn't have the life we had if it wasn't for the very first Easter Sunday morning. And I'm here to tell you, that very first Easter Sunday morning, nobody was hiding Easter eggs. There was no bunnies in the mall. No one was taking pictures with Easter bunnies. Now, there might have been bunnies hopping around, you know, around the tomb. I don't know. Well, I wasn't there. And I'm okay. Like I said, I'm okay with our kids having candy and eggs or whatever, as long as they know the real reason for the season. And it is kind of funny because we talk about the reason for the season around Christmas, but we don't talk about the reasons for the season at Easter. We should. We should make sure that every person knows the reason for the season. The reason that we're celebrating Easter, the reason that you get to have candy today is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's the reason. We should say tell them the reason why you have an egg. Because the egg represents the tomb that's now empty. That's why your egg is hollow. Except for the one egg that actually has, like, looks like a yolk on the inside. And that's kind of disgusting to think about that anyway. But I mean, they taste good, but to think about, you know, eating a rotten egg is kind of gross. Some of you health nuts maybe like a rotten egg, but doesn't sound good. But everything that we have is because Jesus rose again. Amen. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for everything that Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, for what we have today because of Jesus. But Father God, we thank you. If there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Everything that we've been given, I haven't been given because I don't know Jesus. If you're here tonight and say, Craig, I don't know Jesus, lift your hand. We want to pray for you. We want to make sure you know Jesus tonight. We want to make sure you know the risen Savior. We want to make sure that you can celebrate this Easter different than you've ever celebrated before. I'm looking across the room. Is anyone that needs to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here and you say, Craig, at one time I followed after him, but I've kind of turned my back and went away. And tonight I want to come home. If that's you, if you're here and you want to be saved or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Today, we're going to go. Guys, go ahead. Today, we're going to have communion. We're going to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. So at this point in time, the ushers are going to pass out the elements. And we believe in open communion. If you're a born-again Christian, you're welcome to take communion with us. Amen. Praise God. As they're passing out the elements, go ahead, guys, and let's sing something. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We sing all the blood. We sing all the blood of Jesus. Oh. the blood. Sing all the blood, all the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, all the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your blood,
all the blood
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
It washes white
as snow.
Sing healing in the blood. There is healing in the blood
of Jesus.
There is healing in the blood
of Jesus.
Healing, healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. See, there is life in the blood. There
Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" You know, today we're taking communion, you know, and what better fitting time to take communion than on Easter Sunday? You know, but we do this to remember what Jesus did for us. To remember his death upon the cross, to remember his resurrection. You know, and I think, you know, it says, "As often as you do it, remember me." You know, but sometimes you can remember Jesus without taking communion as well. You know, sometimes that we, you know, we think, well, maybe we only remember Jesus when we take communion. That's not true. You should remember Jesus all the time. I mean, we shouldn't just think about Jesus Christ rising from the dead on Easter. All the time we should think about how awesome it is that Jesus rose from the dead. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. You know, we should think more about, you know, if Jesus would have never came on that first Christmas, that he could have never died on Good Friday and he could have never rose again on Easter. You know, and sometimes we celebrate only, in fact, do you realize that a lot of Christians only come to church on 2 days, Christmas and Easter? You know, because they're good Christians, you know. But, you know, hey, I'd rather see them on 2 days than not see them at all. But the Bible says, "As often as you do this, remember me." You know, and we do it more often than one time a year. But if it's only one time a year, then, you know, but we should remember him all the time. Amen. Let's take our bread in our hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread that represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that for those stripes that were laid upon his back, that by his stripes
we were healed. And we thank you today as we take this bread, we take forth healing in our life. So go ahead and break and eat. Let's hold the cup in our hand. Father God, we thank you for this cup that represents the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. That blood that was spilled there on Calvary. And because of the blood that was spilled, our sins have been forgiven. We have been washed white as snow. Thank you, Father, for that blood that was spilled. Thank you, Father, for what it means for us. We thank you, Father, that as we take forth this cup, we thank you for our sins being forgiven. We thank you that we are healed. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Go ahead and drink. Hallelujah. Let's just take a few moments and reflect upon him. Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, Father, for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful things that are happening. Amen. Let's just sing a little bit here.
Because he lives, oh yes, I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives.
Because he lives, our fear is gone, our fear is gone, because I know he holds the future.
Because of his resurrection. And like I said, think about it more than every Easter. You know, maybe let's just use the world's tricks. You know, if you see a bunny, think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're shopping at Walmart and you see an egg, think about Jesus. You know, if you're eating at IHOP and you get eggs and bacon, then you know, you see your little eggs there, think about Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, like I said, just like the symbol of the cross, we think about Jesus. You can think about Jesus for anything. Anything can remind you about Jesus. Anything. You know, whatever the symbol might be. Let's all stand up. Before we go, does anybody need healing? If someone needs healing before we go, we want to minister God's healing power to you. Anybody here need healing in their body? I wonder if anyone needs healing. I don't mind praying. I know sometimes, you know, sometimes people don't want to come forward because they're too embarrassed or whatever, but if you need healing, I'd like to pray for you. Amen. Everyone's well. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know.